والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ فرقنا بكم البحر فأنجيناكم وأغرقنا آل فرعون وأنتم تنظرون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. If you remember in last lesson we spoke in regards to the Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now inviting the Bani Israel towards accepting the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Does anybody remember what Bani Israel is translated as? Say it, sir.
Does Israel mean Abdullah?
Israel. Israel means Abdullah. Tika Israel means Abdullah. And who was Abdullah? Whose name was that? Who was known as Israel? And Bani means the children. Children of Israel. So who are these? The children of? Anybody remember? Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. Tika? You need to remember that. If you look into the translation of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, wherever it says Bani Israel, Ala Hazrat writes, A Aulade Yaqub. A Aulade Yaqub. Ya Bani Israel. Okay? So, O children of Yaqub. Okay? From the children of Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam, these people came, and Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam came, and so did Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam, and many hundreds of prophets came from that lineage. Thousands of prophets alayhim salam. So the children of Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam are known as Bani Israel. And last lesson we spoke about some of the messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to them through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this next ruku, we continue that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the very verse in the beginning of the previous ruku. Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. O the children of Yaqub, remember my favors that I favored upon you. And we spoke of some of them favors last time, and inshallah we will speak of some of them favors again. So remember the favors that I favored upon you. When you call somebody towards accepting what you want them to accept, you remind them of the favors that you did for them. Tika, remember I did this for you. I need you to do this for me now. Okay? So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reminding them that remember the favors that I favored upon you. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And remember the fact that I gave you superiority over all of the worlds. عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Yani tamam alamo pe tumhe fazilat bakhshi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I gave superiority to the Bani Israel over all the worlds. And this is one of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Bani Israel, to the Jews, to the Yahud. And these are the Yahud. The ulama kiram in the tafsir of this, they say that what it means is that your forefathers were given superiority over all the creation of Allah in their time. Yani unke zamane mein, tumhare aba o ajdad ke zamane mein, unhe puri makhlooq-e khuda banda pe fazilat di gayi. Theek hai? It doesn't mean that they are more superior than the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not what it means. Theek hai? Or some ulama-e-kiram have said that this is fazilat-e-juz'i. Yani, it is superiority in one specific thing. Theek hai? A person may be more superior in one specific thing, but overall, another person may be more superior. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khayra ummatin, to the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus we are the most superior ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us superiority over all those who came in the past. Tika, and our time is the last, so there is none to come after us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from amongst the best ummah. And we should be grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For it is he through whose means we have received this superiority. Tika, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave superiority, virtue, to the Bani Israel over all others that were there in their time, in the time of their forefathers, in the time of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam, Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam, and all the other Anbiya-i Kiram and Rusul-e-Izam that came from amongst the Bani Israel. So remember these favours that I favoured upon you. Wattaqu, and fear, يَوْمَ لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ أَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا, and fear the day when no soul will compensate another soul, when no soul will take the place of another soul. Tika, no soul will take the punishment for another soul, and no soul will be given the reward instead of another soul. Tika, you can not intercede on that day. That's what this verse means. And the Mufassirin al-Kiram say that the word nafs, which means soul, is mentioned twice. لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا. When one soul will not compensate for another soul. What the Mufassirin al-Kiram say is that the first nafs that has been mentioned here is regarding the nafsum mu'mina, the believing soul. Tika, jo mu'min is dunya se gaya. And the second nafs that is mentioned is the non-believing soul. Yani nafsun kafira. Theek hai? So what it means is that no believing soul will compensate for a non-believing soul. Yani a non-Muslim will not be compensated for. There will be no intercession for a non-Muslim. That's what it means. Theek hai? This doesn't mean that a believer cannot intercede for another believer. What it means is that a believer will not intercede for a non-believer. And it's important to understand this explanation. So, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمَ لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ أَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. Yani, O Bani Israel, if you do not accept today, then you will die as a non-believer. And if you die as a non-believer, then fear that day, which is the day of judgment, when no believer will be able to intercede for you. That's what it means. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it more clearer. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً. And no shafa'ah, no intercession will be accepted from a believing soul for an unbelieving soul. Tika? So there will be no shafa'ah. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is there that will intercede in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but with the permission of Allah? Tika? Yani there is intercession on the Day of Judgment with the permission of Allah. But that is for a believer, for a believer. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً. So fear that day when there will be no intercession that will be accepted. وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلًا. And no ransom will be accepted. Tika? No price will be accepted to compensate. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. And they, yani the non-believing souls, they will not be helped. Unki madad nahi ki jayegi. La yunsarun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Bani Israel, the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, the followers of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, and Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam, and the other prophets and Anbiya-i Kiram, and those who were present in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and called themselves Yahud. Tika, Allah is telling them that, remember these favors that I did for you and come and accept my message again. And if you don't, then fear that day when there will be no compensation, there will be no intercession for you, and nobody will come to your aid if you die as a non-believer. And now after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 10 of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored with favored the Bani Israel with. And the first one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. And Fir'aun, who is Fir'aun? Fir'aun is the king of Egypt. Tika, in English we know the word Pharaoh. Pharaoh. Hana? So, the king of Egypt is known as Fir'aun. And in this verse, and when we are speaking of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, then it's the specific Fir'aun that was present in the time of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. His name was Walid ibn Mus'ab bin Rayyan. Tika, his name was Walid, the son of Mus'ab, the son of Rayyan. That was the king of Egypt in the time of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. He lived for more than 400 years. Tika, his age was, he lived for more than 400 years. In them times, people lived for long. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ, which means remember. Tika, and remember. When we gave you success, najat, najjaynakum is from success. And remember when we gave you success, min ali fir'aun, from the people of Pharaoh. Tika, and the mufassirin kiram on this again, they say, ali fir'aun, al means those who followed. There's a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam where a sahabi asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man hum ya Rasulullah?" Meaning the al of yours, who are they? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Those who follow me." So all those who follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are from the al of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is in one context, and in the other context, we mean those who came from the lineage of Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. They are specifically known as the Al of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in general terms, depending on the context, it may also mean all those who followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we recite durood e mubarakah, when we say wa ala ali Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the majority of the ulama kiram, it means and to those who followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tika? And that's why after that you don't have to mention wa'ala ashabihi. Tika? Because they are part of the al, those who followed. So when you are reciting durood sharif, you are also sending durood upon all the sahaba ikram and all who followed until today and all who will follow until the day of judgment. So here, ali fir'aun means those who followed fir'aun, the muttabi'een of fir'aun, those who did ittiba of fir'aun. But not only that, the Mufassirin Kiram say that it means Fir'aun and his al. Tika? Fir'aun and the followers. Because it doesn't say وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. It doesn't say that. But still it means Fir'aun and Ali Fir'aun. And the example of that in the Quran is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. And we have given superiority to the children of Adam. What about Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam? Tika? What it means is, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا آدَمْ وَبَنِي آدَمْ. We have given superiority and virtue to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam with his children. In the same way here, when it just mentions Ali Fir'aun, it means Fir'aun and Ali Fir'aun. Tika? وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. When we gave you success from Pharaoh and the people of Pharaoh. Tika? يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. When he and his people, he and his followers, used to punish you in a very severe manner. And سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ, عَذَاب, every عَذَاب is not good. Tika, it's bad. عَذَاب is not good. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. And سُوء means bad, not good. Tika? And عَذَاب also means not good. So, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Reza radiallahu ta'ala translates this as Bura Adab. Tika? Which means a bad punishment. Which means it's severe than the normal punishment that people. It's a very severe punishment. So, these people, yani the Fir'aun and his people, they used to punish the Bani Israel, the children of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, in Egypt. How did they used to punish them? يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. They would slaughter your children. يُذَبِّحُونَ ذَبَح. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. They would slaughter your children. وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. And they would leave your women. So what they were doing is they were killing all the male children, the masculine children, and they were leaving the females. وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. And in that there is a great test from your Lord. Yani there was a great test from your Lord. And here the word bala sometimes means test and sometimes means favor. Ni'mat. It can also mean a ni'mat. Tiga. And Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala and Kanzul Iman, if you look in that translation, Ala Hazrat translates it as Bari bala ya azim ni'mat ya bari ni'mat. He says both of them. It's either, it depends, dhalikum. Depends on dhalikum. Dhalikum means that. So in that there is a great favor for you, or in that there is a great test for you. And it depends where dhalikum goes. If dhalikum is referred towards najjaynakum, we gave you success, then it means it is a great ni'mat for you. And if it goes towards the zulm of Fir'aun and his people, then it means there is a great test for you. What the people of Pharaoh used to do, in accordance to the order of Fir'aun, what they used to do is, they used to make the Bani Israel work throughout the day when the sun was shining extremely hot, and they used to make them cut stone. They had to cut stone, and they had to try and remove mountains from the surface of the earth. So they would work all day hitting rocks, trying to smash them and break them in the heat. And the heat used to hit their backs and necks in such a manner that their necks used to get burnt and their backs used to get burnt. Tiga? And they were treated as slaves. And not only that, Fir'aun had also prescribed a tax upon them. So they had to pay tax as well. And the people of Pharaoh did not have to pay any tax. It was only the Bani Israel that had to pay tax. And the tax had to be paid every day before sunset. And if a person did not pay his tax that was due before sunset, then they would tie his hands behind his neck and they would leave him like that for over a month. And many of them just died like that. This is the type of transgression and tyranny that Pharaoh used to do on the Bani Israel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them that, remember, all this used to happen and I am the one who gave you success from him. Meaning I freed you from Fir'aun and his people. And in regards to slaughtering the male, the masculine child, so many of us have heard the story of what happened. Fir'aun saw a dream, and in that dream he saw that there was a very strong wind filled with fire that came from Dimashq, from Sham, from Syria. In his dream he sees this fire with this wind that came all the way from Syria, and it came all over his land and it killed and burnt all of his followers. All the Ali Fir'aun were burnt, and all their goods and their crops and everything got burnt, all their wealth. But the Bani Israel were not affected. This is what he sees in his dream, that the Bani Israel have not been affected by this fire that was brought by this wind. They were not affected. So he wakes up and he calls all these different interpreters and the magicians and those who had knowledge of dreams. They all came and they interpreted this dream for him. And they all said that a child will be born from amongst the Bani Israel. And this child will take over your kingdom, and you will be destroyed. He will destroy you, he will be the cause of your destruction, and he will take over and he will become the leader of the people in Egypt. So after hearing this, Fir'aun decided to kill every child that was born that was a male. Tika, because according to the interpretation of his dream, it was a male child that would do this. So in different narrations, there's narrations where it says 17,000 children, boys, baby boys were slaughtered. Tika? And that's what it refers to. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. That they slaughtered your masculine children. And 17,000, and there's different narrations. In some narrations, there's more, some narrations, there are less. And there is also a narration that 90,000 women who were pregnant, they were forced to abort their child. Tika? 90,000. And these are the narrations that are present. So this is the type of zulm and transgression and tyranny that Pharaoh, Fir'aun, did to the Bani Israel. Tika? When this happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave death to the Bani Israel males a lot sooner than they normally did. So the men started dying in the Bani Israel. And no children, no masculine children were growing up because they were all killed when they were born. So the advisors of Fir'aun came to him and they said to him that if we carry on killing all these masculine children, then in the future we will have no men to work for us. We'll have no slave men, we'll have no laborers. So you must stop killing these masculine children. So then they all decided in their meeting that what we will do is we'll kill all the masculine children that are born in 1 year, and then for 1 year we will let them live. And then the year after we will kill them, and then 1 year we will let them live. This is the plan. Tika? And that's the plan they went in accordance to. And in the year that they decided not to kill any child, Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam was born. And in the year that they decided to kill all the male children, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam was born. Tika? And how he survived is also mentioned elsewhere. So this is what it refers to when it says that they were slaughtering the male children and leaving, sparing the females. So this is one of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. Tika, that Allah gave you freedom from Fir'aun and his people, from Pharaoh and his people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says another one of the other favors, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And remember, إِذْ always means remember, وَإِذْ. So وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا, and remember when we separated or ripped. فَرَقْنَا يعني فَرْق پیدا کیا, يعني we separated or we ripped. بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ, the sea, when we opened the sea or we ripped the sea open or we separated the water in the sea for you, bikum. فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ, and we gave you success, or we freed you from the Ali Fir'aun, yani Fir'aun and his people. وَأَغْرَقْنَا Ali Fir'aun, and we drowned all the people of Pharaoh and Pharaoh. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, whilst you were all watching, yani in your eyes, in front of your eyes. In front of you, we gave you success by opening the sea so that you had a path to walk through to save yourselves from Pharaoh and his people, and then we drowned Pharaoh and his people. Tika, this is the other favor that Allah mentioned. What happened here was that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam grew up, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam saw all this zulm that was happening. Tika? And one night, according to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam ordered his people who followed him to leave Egypt. Tika? To leave Egypt. So at night time, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam ordered his people to leave Egypt and follow him. And they all came, and they came to the sea, and the sea, they had nowhere to go. Tika? They had nowhere to go, and in the morning, Pharaoh, Fir'aun and his people, they woke up and they found that the Bani Israel have disappeared. So Pharaoh ordered his people to ride on horses and animals, and they all went in search for them. Tika? They saw trails and they followed them, and they found the Bani Israel. And they saw that the Bani Israel cannot go further because there is a sea there. And the Bani Israel could see that Pharaoh and his people have come. So the Bani Israel, they looked at Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and they complained. The Bani Israel always complained to the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. In every little thing they used to complain and they used to mourn. They never liked the idea of leaving Egypt. Okay? But Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam got them there, and now they were all complaining. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hit his stick, his asa, into the sea, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the sea to separate into 12 different paths. So 12 different paths opened up in the sea. And the narrations say that the water rose up and it formed walls. And they were like glass walls. So the water became like glass and there were 12 different paths for them to go through. The reason the word 12 always comes in the story of the Bani Israel is because there were 12 different tribes that were amongst the Bani Israel. So there were 12 different paths and each group knew which tribe, which path was for them. So they all walked into the water, into these pathways, and they started walking in there and they were talking amongst each other whilst they walked through. The Fir'aun came rushing down towards the seaside with his people, and he came to the end and he saw that the path was there, so he decided to go in as well. And when Fir'aun went in, until they carried on coming into the middle, and the followers of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the Bani Israel, had gone on to the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought all the water back in. And the paths disappeared and all of the people, Pharaoh, Fir'aun and his people, they all drowned in that water. And this happened in front of the Bani Israel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them that, remember, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, and remember when we gave you success from Fir'aun and his people. وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ, and remember when we separated for you pathways in the sea. فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ, and we gave you success or freedom. وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ, and we drowned the people of Pharaoh and him and Fir'aun. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, in front of you. Tika. This happened on the 10th of Muharram. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and his people, from that day they used to celebrate the 10th of Muharram every year. Okay? So because this happened, they were given success and freedom from Fir'aun and his people on the 10th of Muharram. Because of that, they would celebrate every year on that day and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to show thankfulness and gratefulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this success. This continued until the day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara saw that the Jews are fasting on the 10th of Muharram. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, and they said, this is the day that Allah gave us success from Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, from Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave success to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and our people from Fir'aun on this very day. And that's why we fast on this day. They used to fast, because fasting is a form of worship, which is expressing gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that we are more rightful of following Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and celebrating his success. And therefore we will also fast on this day. And since then the Muslimin also fasted on the 10th of Muharram. And in another narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we shall fast for 2 days. So both are sunnah, to fast on the 10th of Muharram and to fast another day either side. Even to fast just one day on the 10th of Muharram is also sunnah. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from this we learn that it is sunnah to remember specific days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave favours to his servants. To remember them is a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, to specify that day. Remember it was the 10th of Muharram. To specify the day is also sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people say that you can't fix a date to celebrate the Milad, things like that. This is the answer to that. Here the 10th of Muharram has been specified as a specific day, the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave success to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the Muslims to fast on that day. And he himself also fasted. Another thing that we also learn from this is that even if another religion, which is from the Samawi religions, yani the people of the book, are celebrating some incident that occurred with their Prophet, we can also celebrate that day. ठीक है. Although the Jews were celebrating this success of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, we were still allowed to celebrate on that very same day. ठीक है. And to differentiate from them, in one narration the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we will fast for 2 days. ठीक है. And their fast was different to our fast. The Bani Israel used to fast when they never used to speak. ठीक है. They wouldn't speak at all when they were fasting. We don't eat at all, but we are allowed to talk. ठीक है. So this was one of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Bani Israel, that Allah caused the sea to make pathways, and then Allah drowned Fir'aun and his people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ وَاعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. And remember, وَإِذْ وَاعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ, and remember when we promised Musa alayhi salam, أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً, 40 nights, when we promised Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, 40 nights. What happened was, after the Bani Israel were freed from Fir'aun and his zulm and his people, when they were all drowned, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was ordered to return back to Egypt with the Bani Israel. So they all came back to Egypt, and the people of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam for a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam to go towards the Mount Sinai, okay, Tur-e-Sina, to go to the Mount Sinai, it's known as today. Go there for 40 nights, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal scriptures on Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam leaves Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam in his position and goes towards the mountain, and he goes on to the mountain. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam stays there for 40 days, and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam here is controlling the Bani Israel. And there are many, many people amongst the Bani Israel here, thousands of them. And there was a man called Samri, who gathered all the gold and jewelry that people had, and from it he made a cow, tika, as an idol of a cow, a statue. And inside it was hollow. From the inside of the cow it was hollow, and on the outside it made a body of gold. And he presented this cow to the people, to the Bani Israel, and he says that while Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam has gone onto the mountains, we shall worship, this is our Lord. This is our Lord, we shall worship this idol for now. And when the wind would come and enter the mouth of the cow, it would go around into the hollow space and then come out, and it would make a sound. Tiga? And because of that sound, Samri says to people that, look, it has life as well, even though it's not a real cow. And because of this, the Bani Israel started worshipping this cow. Apart from Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam and 24,000 followers, apart from them, 24,000 and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, all the other Bani Israel, they worshipped this cow. They committed shirk. Okay? They left their religion. Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam returns, and if you look into the detail, there's very interesting incidents that occurred in the debate between Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam. But what happened is, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam came, he saw that this was happening, and they turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the punishment of those who worship the cow, who committed shirk, is that they be killed. Tika? That they be killed. And the punishment was that those who did not worship the cow shall slaughter those who did worship the cow. This was the punishment. The punishment of committing shirk was death amongst the Bani Israel in the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So this punishment began, And the manner it happened was when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam came, they all left the cow and they came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam gave them the hukum of Allah, that this is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which comes here. Faqtulu anfusakum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So these people who committed shirk, they happily gave their necks to the people who didn't, who were to slaughter them. Okay? Because they wanted to clean themselves from this sin and be forgiven rather than going to eternal hellfire. Tika? So this was their tawbah, this was their repentance. So they happily gave themselves, and many a thousand got killed, punished and forgiven because of their punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ وَعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. And remember when we promised Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam 40 nights, and then after you began worshipping the cow and you became the transgressors. وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. And this is transgression, to worship a cow when there is only one Allah who is worthy of worship. ثُمَّ عَفَوْنَا عَنْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Then we forgave you. We forgave you that sin. مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, after that. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may be thankful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. And forgave them meaning He accepted this punishment as their punishment in the dunya, so that they can go into Jannah after that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them after that, so that they may be thankful. وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَالْفُرْقَانَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. And remember when we gave to Sayyidina Musa the book, when we gave the book in them 40 nights. We gave the Tawrat to Musa alayhi salam, وَالْفُرْقَانَ, which is known as the Furqan. Furqan means that which differentiates between the truth and false. Tika? Between haq and batil. Between truth and falsehood. So remember when we gave the book, which is the Furqan, to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, so that you become guided, so that you stay away from the falsehood and you remain guided towards the truth. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. And remember when Musa said to his people, يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِكُمُ الْعِجْلِ. O my people, this is Musa alayhi salam telling the people, you have transgressed upon yourselves by worshipping this cow. فَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ بَارِئِكُمْ. Therefore repent towards your creator. Bari means your creator. Tiga bari'un. So إِلَىٰ بَارِئِكُمْ. Repent towards your creator. فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And the repentance is that you kill yourselves. فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. You kill yourselves. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ. That is better for you near your creator. Yani according to your creator, this is better for you than the punishment in the hereafter. Tika? The truth is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have wiped them off the surface of the earth because they committed shirk and worshipped an idol after accepting Islam. Tika? Once a person accepts Islam and then goes towards shirk, that is far more worse than he who has always been committing shirk. Tika? And because one had accepted Islam and come under the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he went outside and committed shirk, then if Allah wished, Allah could have wiped them off. Tika? But it's the mercy of Allah that Allah gave them a punishment where they could slaughter themselves and be freed from that sin and then gain eternal bliss. Tika? So it's a mercy. Even this punishment of death was a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like if you have a pencil and you own that pencil, you bought it with your money, you can do what you want with it. Tika? You can throw it outside. If it doesn't work for you, you can break it, snap it, whatever you want, because you're the creator. Nobody has the right to say that you're committing zulm, you're transgressing on your pen. It is yours for you. You can do what you want. Tika? And this is the situation when we are the temporary owners of these pens and pencils. Because the actual creator of everything is Allah. So who has the right to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is wrong what you are doing? This is zulm, this is transgression that you have gave such a punishment. Tika? It is up to Allah. He is the creator, he may do what he wishes with us. And that is why if we get an illness or anything that happens to us, we must never complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should only plead and pray and supplicate to Allah. Theek hai? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this punishment, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam gave that punishment to the people, told them, ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ. This is better for you according to your creator. فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this repentance. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily he is the acceptor of repentance, and he is the most merciful. الرحيم. He is the most merciful. And as I've explained, that this was a mercy. This punishment of being killed was a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But later what happens is that when they began being slaughtered, the punishment was being carried out. So after thousands of them were killed, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, they cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked Allah to forgive them without any punishment. And they cried, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to stop the punishment and said that I have forgiven them. Tika? I have forgiven them from that punishment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requested them to come unto, to bring some of them to the mount. Tika? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to reveal a revelation. So when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam took about 70 of selected people from amongst the Bani Israel to the mountain. And they came, and when they reached there, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam gave them the hukum of Allah, that the hukum of Allah is that those who have been killed, they have been martyred. They will be rewarded the reward of a shaheed who died in the path of Allah. So there is eternal bliss for them. And those who have yet to be punished, who did commit that shirk but have not been killed, Allah has forgiven them due to His mercy. So these people said, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. They said, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. They said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that we will not believe you until we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until we ourselves actually see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was a form of disrespect. Tika? When they said this to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ. We will not believe you until we ourselves actually see Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not pleased, obviously, with this disrespect in the court of His Prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away revealed a thunder, the loud sound, or lightning, and sa'iqa is a thunder and a scream type thing. Tika? So it's a thunder which gave all of them death, all 70 of them. They all died because of this disrespect in the court of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Never mind seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just this sound gave them death. Tika? So they all died. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, they again pleaded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, you have taken their lives. What will we go and say to the people of Bani Israel? These are the leaders of their people. How will we answer to them? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave them life again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ. After your death, we gave you life again. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Maybe you should now become thankful and grateful towards Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them life again, and then they came to the people, to their people, and they told them the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they now believed firmly, tika, after seeing what had happened, facing death and coming back to life. So the Bani Israel were now forgiven, and then the hukum came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that they must go to Syria. They must go to Syria and they must take over the land from transgressors that were there at the moment. And this was specifically Dimashq, in Damascus. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam gives the order to the people. And again, they refuse and they act lazy. They say, no, we don't want to leave Egypt. We have everything here. Why should we leave Egypt? But Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the narration say that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam aggressively ordered them that they must go. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus they left. And now that they left in this manner, mourning and groaning and we don't want to leave Egypt, every little thing that happened they complained. They complained to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So they began traveling towards Syria. And whilst they were traveling, they finished all their food. And when all the food was finished, they came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and they said that there is no food. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of this favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. They complained about the heat because of the sun in the desert, and it was really hot. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when we gave you a cloud, and in narrations it says this cloud was white. So it wasn't filled with water. It was a white cloud and it covered them every time they moved. It moved with them. وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامِ. And we gave you shadow, a shade, through this white cloud, which remained above you everywhere you went. وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. And we revealed for you from the skies, man and salwa, which was food. And man was a sweet, it was a sweet food, and salwa was a type of a bird, tika, like a pigeon. It was a specific type of a bird which was revealed for them from heaven. And what they had to do is they had to hunt it down or shoot it with an arrow, and that's how they got hold of it and they cooked it and they ate it. Tika? So man and salwa came from heaven for them. In the middle of a desert, where would they find food like this? Tika? This is a favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave to the Bani Israel. And the order for them was that it would come every day apart from on a Saturday. Tika? The food would not come on a Saturday. There was no hunting, there was no work on a Saturday for that. And the order was on Friday, twice as much man came and twice as much salwa came. And they had to keep half of it for Saturday. And the order was that they do not hoard any more than that. They don't gather and keep for later more than that. Only half for Saturday, and then they must not leave anything after Saturday. Because on Monday, Sunday they will receive more. But what they began to do is they began to store all this food and gather it and hoard it. They began hoarding all this food. And this is a way of unthankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even today, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to use what we have. Do not hoard wealth and material and things like this. If you have something, don't leave it for tomorrow. If you need to use it today, use it today. Allah will give you more tomorrow. Okay? So hoarding things like that is not good. It's a sign of being ungrateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when these people started doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away the favor of man and salwa from them. Tika? Anyhow, these were the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did towards the Bani Israel. So man and salwa was given to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Eat from that which is pure from amongst that which we have given you. Eat from that which is pure which we have provided for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them man and salwa and ordered them to eat from it as much as they want. It is all pure and clean, and it is the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, due to the transgression that they did, which was hoarding it and gathering it and trying to save it for the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا. And you did not do transgression to me, you did not commit zulm towards Allah, because Allah is free from anybody affecting Allah. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ But you did zulm towards your own selves. Okay? You transgressed upon your own selves. Don't ever think that by not praying namaz, you are doing something that causes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to in any form or way be affected by it, become less in His greatness. That is impossible. Tika, we are committing zulm upon ourselves. We are transgressing upon ourselves. In the same manner here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you have not made anything lose, anything less for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has faced no loss at all by you lot saving this for later and going against the command of Allah, but you have committed zulm upon yourselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they came near Syria, and it's amazing the fact that it comes later, we'll probably do this in the next lesson, where whilst they were travelling and they were receiving the food from Jannah, Man and Salwa, which was extremely delicious, they said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and they complained, and this was not true. It wasn't, they weren't being truthful, they were lying for the sake of complaining. And they said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, that we cannot remain patient upon this one specific type of food, Man and Salwa. How will we carry on eating the same food again and again and again? What we want is for you to ask your Lord to remove from the earth bakl. Bakl means spinach. Tika? Saag. Wa qitha'iha. And kaddu, which is a type of pumpkin or similar to a cucumber, dudhi. Tika? Wa foom, garlic. Wa adas, is that lentils? Dal, wa basal, and onions. This is what we want to eat, not man and salwa. This is what they complained to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, ordered them to go into this city. And according to some mufassirin kiram, this qariya or this city was Dimashq. Theek hai? Although some people say Dimashq, the actual word is Dimashq. And known as Damascus. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to enter into this place where they shall receive all these vegetables. There's plenty of crops there. The earth is moist and it grows all these crops. So you will find your onions and your garlic and your spinach and everything there. So when they come to Syria, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا And when, remember when we ordered you, enter into this city and eat from wherever you wish. Eat whatever you wish from this city. You will find all the vegetables there. The condition is وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا That you enter into this door in the state of prostration. Sajda ki halat mein dakhil ho. So enter with your head down in the position of sajda and crawl through. Tika? Crawl through this door in the position of sajda. Wa qulu, and whilst you're entering, qulu hitta. Say the word hitta, which means, O Allah, forgive us our sins. That's what it means. Hitta means forgive us. Tika? Forgiveness. So ask Allah to forgive you for all these silly complaints and all these troubles that you gave to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and all the time you went against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, if you do this, نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ then I shall, or we shall, the plural of royalty, that we will forgive you all your sins. خَطَايَاكُمْ وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ and we shall increase those who are the muhsineen, yani we shall give you more. So what did these people do? How did they enter? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ These people who were transgressing all the time, they again committed transgression and they changed the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered them to say. So what happened was, instead of going into the door in the state of prostration, because this was like the Kaaba for them. Theek hai? Like we prostrate towards the Kaaba, this entrance was the Kaaba for them, and they had to do sajda for Allah towards this door, entering in there saying forgiveness. Instead, they entered the other way around with their backside entering first, and they dragged their backside onto the ground to enter in that manner. And whilst they entered, they said habbatun fi sha'ratin, which means bal medana, a seed inside a hair. Theek hai? It was a joke, it was a mockery of the order of Allah. Theek hai? This was what they did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, due to this reason, فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رِجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, that because of this, we descended from the skies upon them, upon those who transgressed, a punishment. بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ, because of that which they transgressed, because of that which they violated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a punishment. And the punishment, according to the Mufassirin al-Kiram, was a plague. A plague came over them, and they, all the ones that transgressed and violated the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and made a mockery of the order of Allah, they were all killed in this plague. Tiga, and the others survived. And the plague is one of the punishments, one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished the previous ummahs. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith said that the plague that comes upon my ummah is the remaining of the punishment of Allah for the previous ummah. It's the remainder of that punishment. And it's because of them that sometimes a plague comes upon the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that when a plague comes into your city or your town or your village, then you must not leave there and be patient. Tika? You must not leave there and you must be patient. And he who remains patient and dies in that plague dies as a martyr. And he who stays alive will still be rewarded the reward of a martyr, with the condition that he stays there and he stays patient. And those who are outside this city or town or village, they must not enter into this city, town or village. Tika? Which simply means, because when it may affect you as well. Tika? And if it does affect you, some people may start believing that this is the illness that has come onto me, not the fact that Allah has given this to me. Tika? Instead of believing that Allah is the one who causes everything to happen, and Allah is the one who gives cure, and Allah is the one who gives an illness, instead people will start believing the actual illness to be a creator, and the illness to come upon them without the consent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which would lead people to disbelief. And that's why you should stay away from it, and those who are there should stay in there, so that when they leave, people don't say that it is he who brought this illness upon us. So this was some of the things that happened with the Bani Israel in this ruku', and there is more to come after this in regards to the Bani Israel, and as I said, that it continues until the second Sipara, the Bani Israel. جزاكم الله خيرا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
يا الله اي كبار شريف اي اتفاق اي ناس Do you know that میرو کے آپ میر ہے یا اللہ تعالی مدد
I've heard it, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Take this prayer. Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah. Tu sham meri salat hai, alam tera parwana. Tu maah nubuwwat hai, ae jal.
कहलवाए जानाना जो साकी को सर के चेहरे से निकाब थे जो साकी को सर के चेहरे से निकाब थे हर दिल बनी मैं खाना हर आके हो पैमाना हर दिल बनी मैं खाना हर आके हो पैमाना तो शम मेरी सालत है आलम तेरा परवाना तू माहे नबूवत है ए जलवाए जानाना दिल अपना चमक उठे ईमान की तलात से दिल अपना चमक उठे ईमान की तलात से करे आँख भी नूरानी ए जलवाए जानाना करे आँख भी नूरानी ए जलवाए जानाना तू शम मेरी सालत है आलम तेरा परवाना खाते हैं तेरे दर का पीते हैं तेरे दर का खाते हैं तेरे दर का पीते हैं तेरे दर का पानी है तेरा पानी दाना है तेरा दाना पानी है तेरा पानी दाना है तेरा दाना तू शम मेरी सालत है आलम तेरा परवाना सरकार के जलवों से रोशन है दिले नूरी सरकार के जलवों से रोशन है दिले नूरी ताहशिर रहे रोशन नूरी का शाना ताहशिर रहे रोशन नूरी का शाना तू शम मेरी सालत है आलम तेरा परवाना तू माहे नबूवत है ए जलवाए जानाना
सुभान अल्लाह जज़ाकुम हदीस सेता Okay, last lesson we finish the chapter of Iman, and this session is the chapter of Ikhlas, Babul Ikhlas, Ikhlas in English is translated as sincerity. Theek hai? Sincerity. So when we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for people that are watching, or not so that people say that, look, he worships Allah so much. It should be solely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you remember the first hadith that we heard in the chapter of Iman, which is known as Hadith Jibreel, where Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam came in the form of a human, and he says to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَلْ إِحْسَان. And here Ihsan meant Ikhlas. What is Ikhlas? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. Ya'ubudillaha ka'annaka tarah. Worship Allah as though you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa illam takun tarah, and if you can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning you can't worship Allah in that manner, fa innahu yarak, then verily He is watching you. Then Allah is watching you. So if you can't think to yourself that I am seeing Allah whilst I am worshipping Allah, then believe firmly that Allah is watching you. And that is your sincerity when you are performing salah. You should always be conscious of the fact that Allah is watching me. And if you remain God conscious all the way throughout your worship, then that will be sincerity fulfilled. So this is Babul Ikhlas, and this chapter talks about sincerity. And the first hadith is a very famous hadith, and there's a lot of discussion around this amongst the four different madhahib, the Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, Ikhtilaf. Okay, and this hadith is from Bukhari Sharif, and the hadith is Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O the people, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, verily all actions are in accordance to the intention. And in some narrations it says بِالنِّيَّةِ. Tika? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. That's the hadith from Muslim Sharif with different wording. So instead of نِيَّة it says نِيَّات, which is the plural. So all actions are according to the intentions. All actions are according to the intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِمْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى, for every man is that which he intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He whose migration is towards Allah and His beloved Messenger alayhi salam wassalam, then his hijrah, his migration, is towards Allah and His Messenger. وَمَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَىٰ دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا, or he who migrates towards the dunya so he can receive a part of it, part of the dunya, or towards a female so that he can marry that female, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ, then his migration is towards that which he migrated towards. Tika? A very amazing hadith. It summarizes the whole point of niyyah, intention and sincerity. The basic understanding of this hadith is that you will always be judged according to your intention in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Muslimin migrated, when they left Makkatul Mukarramah and they went to Madinatul Munawwara, the message was clear that if you left Makkatul Mukarramah for Madinatul Munawwara for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then that is your hijrah, and you will be recorded in accordance to that. However, if you left Makkah so that you could come to Medina and marry one of the females of Medina, then that is what you will be judged according to. That will be your reward. to marry a female. Theek hai? So this hadith teaches us that we are judged according to our intention, what we have intended inside, not what the end result is. Theek hai? Sometimes our intention may be something else, but the end result seems to be very fruitful. Yet we never intended that. You will not be rewarded for that. Theek hai? That's what the hadith means. Now, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala says that إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Verily, all actions are according to the intentions. What does it mean? Does this mean that every action is only valid when the intention is there? Is that what it means? Or does it mean that every action is rewarded in accordance to the intention? What is the answer? Theek hai? And Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala, through his ijtihad, the greatest ijtihad that we had seen after the Sahaba Ikram, he came to the conclusion that it is innama thawabul a'mali bin niyat. Verily, the reward of every action is according to the intention, not the validity of the action. Theek hai? So if, for example, a man jumps into a pool of water, man doesn't have wuzu, he's on his way to the masjid, he thinks, when I get to the masjid, I will do wuzu. But then he falls into a pool of water, which is massive. Theek hai? It's more than a dahdarda. 10 by 10 is more than that. So the water is pure, it is clean, and it is mutahir. It is tahir and it is mutahir. Yani the water is pure itself, and the water can purify as well. So if he jumps into that water, and all of his body is now pouring with water, and water has flown over the whole body, he comes out of that water, has his wuzu occurred or not? Is the question. Does his wuzu occur? Yes, it does. Theek hai? Although his intention wasn't there, his wuzu has still occurred. Theek hai? Because the hadith doesn't mean that the validity of all actions is according to the intention. That's not what the hadith means. The hadith means the reward of every action is according to the intention. Theek hai? So although his wuzu is valid, he will not be rewarded for that wuzu. Okay? Because there was no intention there. Okay, does that make sense? The rule according to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala is that for every worship, niyyah, intention, is an obligation. Niyyah is an obligation for every worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if it is a wasila towards a worship, then intention is not necessary. Theek hai? Salah, namaz, is that a worship or not? Salah is a worship. So, in salah, how many farz are there? Is niyyah one of them? Of course it is. Niyyat is the first farz in salah. Without niyyah, salah cannot be valid. Theek hai? Because for every worship, niyyah is an obligation. Intention is an obligation. But wuzu, is that a direct worship of Allah, or is it a wasila for a worship? It is a wasila. So when it's a wasila, intention is not an obligation. Theek hai? It's sunnah. For ghusl, is that a worship? Is ghusl a direct worship of Allah, or is it a wasila for a worship? Is ghusl a worship, or is it a wasila for namaz to become valid? Is it a wasila? It's a wasila. And therefore niyat is not farz in ghusl. Theek hai? Is niyat farz in ghusl? There's three farz in ghusl. Niyat is not one of them. This is the basic principle. This is the rule of working out whether niyat is farz or niyat is not farz. If it's a direct worship of Allah, then niyat is farz. And if it is a wasila towards a worship of Allah, then niyat is not farz. This is according to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala. However, according to Imam Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala, niyyah is farz for anything to be valid. According to Imam Azam Abu Hanif, Imam Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala, this hadith means innama sihatul a'mali bin niyyat. Verily, the validity of every action is according to the intention. If the intention wasn't there, no matter how much a man scrubs his body and maybe thousands of buckets of water have flown over his body completely, but his ghusl is still not valid because intention is not there, according to Imam Shafi. But according to Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala, it is valid. Okay? And if you look into the arguments, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala has a hadith supporting the fact that there was no intention, yet the wuzu was valid. Tika? According to the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So according to us, this hadith means, إِنَّمَا ثَوَابُ الْأَعْمَالِ بِالنِّيَّةِ. The reward of every action is according to the intention. Tika? So if the intention was there, then you will be rewarded for it. And if the intention is not there, there will be no reward. Okay? So if, for example, a man falls into a pool of water and he didn't have ghusl, and now water has flown over every single body part up to the extent that water has gone through his nose and cleaned everything inside his nose until his soft bone ends, and even inside his mouth all the way till his halaq. Everything has been cleaned out. Then his ghusl will be valid. But he will not be rewarded for that ghusl. Tiga? Because for the reward, the intention has to be there. From this hadith, we also learn that the more intentions, the more rewards. Tika? So when a person, for example, leaves his home to go to the masjid to perform salah, or if he's sitting at home, let's say jama'ah is not wajib upon him, tika, in certain situations which we know, then he makes intention that I will first of all do wudu. Before I do wuzu, I will recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and I will follow every sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before I do wuzu, I will do miswak, I will wash my face in the best manner I can. Every single separate intention he's making, he is being rewarded for it. Tika? He will be rewarded for it. And after that, whilst after I've done wuzu, I will pray the second kalima, and then if I see somebody, then I will say salam to them, and I might see my mother, I will smile to my mother when I come down after wuzu. Tika? Towards my father I will smile, big reward in that. And then I will stand on the musalla, and because the time has not yet happened, I might sit there and do some tasbih here for a while. I'll do some tasbih. After I've done some tasbih, if the time has occurred, then I will pray. After I've prayed, I will do this, I will do that. Tika? The more intentions he makes, the more rewards he will be getting. Tika? So if a person, for example, goes to the masjid, he's going to the masjid, he thinks, once I go to the masjid, I will make sure I fulfill the rights of the pathway, the hukuk of the path, which means to say salam to those who are walking past, and to make sure if you see anything harmful in the pathway, you'll move that. If you make intention before leaving your home that I will do that, tika? You will be rewarded for it, whether you find something harmful or not. Okay, and we'll see that in another hadith. And then you make intention that I'll probably see my Muslim brothers, I will smile towards them, and I will do salam with them, and I will do musafa with them. And then I will perform salah, and then I might read some book, or every individual intention he will be rewarded for. Tika? So the more intentions you make, the more reward you will receive. So you should ponder over all these different actions that you can do. Tika? That's what we understand from this hadith. And there is more tafsir in it as well. The next hadith is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَادِكُمْ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look towards your bodies. وَلَا إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look towards your faces. وَلَكِ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks into your hearts. Tika? What this means is, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not base judgment in accordance to your bodies and your faces. Allah bases the judgment according to what is in your heart, according to what your intention was. Tika? If your intention was not to throw this big massive rock down onto another person so that he dies, your intention was to throw it down because it was safe to do so and it needs to be thrown into a skip, But when you threw it, somebody came and he got squashed under it and died. Allah does not look at the outer action that has occurred. Allah looks at the intention that was in your heart. And because your intention was not to kill anybody, you will not be punished for it on the Day of Judgment. That's what it means. So it's the intentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. Allah does not judge people simply on their outer appearance. What some people misunderstand from this hadith is they think that this hadith means Allah completely does not base any judgment according to what is apparent. That's not the truth. What it means is Allah does not base the judgment simply on your outer appearance, but Allah also looks into your heart. And this doesn't mean that now we should all think that we are on the same level of Allah, ma'azallah, and we can all look into the hearts and we must all judge according to the hearts of people. Because we cannot see what's in the heart of people. We cannot judge people according to what their intentions are, what their heart is saying. We can only judge people according to what is apparent. If somebody says, my intention was this, then we accept it. Because he has said that to us and it's become apparent. But if he doesn't tell us that, then we judge according to what is apparent. If we see a person going into the mandir and ringing the bells, then we will say he is a Hindu. Because we judge according to the apparent. Okay, if we see somebody going into the masjid to perform salah, then we know that he is a Muslim because he is going to pray namaz. We base our judgments according to what we see on the outer appearance. And this is in accordance to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is al-hukmu bil-zawahir. The hukm is always according to that which is apparent, and that's the way the whole world judges people. You go into the courtroom where there's a case, they will judge according to the apparent situation, the apparent evidence they have, the apparent things that have been said. Nobody ever judges people according to what's in their hearts because they don't know. Okay? Some people say ke dhari mein Islam thodi rakhi hai. Jubbe mein Islam thoda rakha hai, dil mein Islam hota hai. MaazAllah. Some people say that. Firstly, that's disrespecting the beard, which is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only that, it is a shi'ar of Islam. It is a recognition of Islam which somebody is disrespecting in such statements. And the truth is what he's trying to say is that this is not Islam, your clothes are not Islam, Islam is only in the heart. That's what he's trying to say. Whereas the truth is, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us that Islam, the verse of the Quran, Allah says, "Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa," completely enter into Islam, which means your heart, your hands, your feet, your body, your face, everything should become Islam. Your outer appearance, everything should become Islam. And that is what Islam is. Islam is in your beard. Islam is in your jubbah. Islam is also in your heart. Iman, if you look into the ta'rif of Iman, the ta'rif of Iman is not just tasdeeqan bil qalb. It says wa qawlan bil lisan. Hana? Islam, the ta'rif, the definition of Iman is al-Iman tasdeequn تصديق ما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالقلب. To verify everything that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم has come with the heart. باللسان وقولا باللسان. And to say it with your tongue. If Islam was only in the heart, then why is there the condition or the addition of قولا باللسان, to say it with your tongue? Up to the extent that this is such a condition that if a person believes in the heart but does not say with his tongue, then he will be treated as a non-believer and he will be buried in the graveyard of the non-believers. Which simply tells us that Islam is not only inside the heart, but it is also on your tongues and on your outer appearance as well. And this hadith simply means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the heart as well as the outer appearance. Allah sees everything and Allah judges according to the heart. So if a person has not spoken about his Islam and verified his Islam by his tongue, but he has in his heart, then Allah knows. And if the hukum is that if he did have a chance to speak with his tongue but he did not, then he will be regarded as a non-believer even in the court of Allah. But if he did have the opportunity to say it with his tongue, yet he still denied or refused without a valid reason, then in that case, he will still be regarded as a non-believer in the court of Allah. However, if there was a specific reason, there was a valid reason because of which he could not say it with his tongue, he knew that if I say it, these people will kill me, or they will cut one of my body parts off, then in that situation, he by the people will be regarded as a non-believer, buried in the graveyard of non-believers, but in the court of Allah he will be a believer. Tiga, does that make sense? Okay, that's the law, that's the fiqh, that's the rules that the ulama ikram have said. So saying it with the tongue is utmost important, it is part of iman. The next hadith is in regards to sincerity again, obviously it's in this chapter. سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن الرجل يقاتل شجاعة ويقاتل حمية ويقاتل رياء. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was asked regarding a man who fights in the war, he fights in a war in jihad, شجاعة, due to show to people how brave he is. ويقاتل حمية, and a man who fights jihad zealously, with passion. It's his passion, that's what he likes to do. Tika? This is his intention because he gains pleasure from fighting in war, killing people. And thirdly, ويقاتل رياء, or he is simply fighting in the path of Allah due to riya. Riya means showing off. Tika? Riyakari, to show off. أَيُّ ذَلِكَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which of these three is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tiga? So the first one is fighting to show people his bravery, to show people how hard he is. Second person is fighting because it's his pleasure, it's his hobby. He likes killing people, ma'azallah. And the third person is simply fighting for riya, to show off. Okay, just to show people. Which one of them, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is from amongst the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, مَنْ قَاتَلَ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He who fights so that the word of Allah is raised up, then he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Theek hai? So the sincere intention in fighting must only be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to raise the banner of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other things, you will not be rewarded for jihad in the path of Allah. There is another narration where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that none of them are in the path of Allah. Tika, and one of them mentioned was he who fights for his family honor, to give his family a big name, that this family fought for us. Tika, and these people, none of them are in the path of Allah. So if people fight with this intention, then they have no fruits, they are not martyred, they will not be given that reward. But if the intention is for the sake of Allah and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will be shaheed and they will be given the reward of shahada. And the last hadith we shall read today, a very beautiful hadith, shows the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عن النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم فيما يروي عن ربه عز وجل. This hadith is in Bukhari Sharif Kitab al-Riqaq. It is narrated by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? So it's from amongst those narrations where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates from his Lord. And this type of hadith is known as a hadith Qudsi. Qala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is narrating from Allah. Inna Allah kataba al-hasanati was-sayyi'at. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written down good deeds and bad deeds. ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them apparent. So, كَتَبَ here means determined. Allah has determined what are good deeds and Allah has determined what are bad deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them clear for us. ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ Allah نے بیان کر دیا, روشن کر دیا. Yani Allah has made it absolutely clear. فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ So he who intends, hamma means وہ صرف ہمت کرنا, ٹھیک ہے, یعنی to make intention. He who makes an intention of a good deed, فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا But he does not carry it out. ٹھیک ہے, he made the intention but he didn't do it. كَتَبَهَ اللَّهُ لَهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً Then verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for him a complete good deed. حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً ٹھیک ہے, and this is a person who made the intention to do the deed but didn't do it. He didn't get to do it. But yet Allah's mercy is so much that Allah still writes a complete, a hasana kamila, a complete good deed for him. Tika, imagine he did it and he didn't complete it, or he didn't do it in the correct way. Tika, his reward would have been less. But in some cases, instead of reward, you are punished for it. Gunah milta, tika. For example, you perform a salah in a makruh time. Makruh waqt mein namaz padhe. You're putting bad deeds into your book of deeds instead of good deeds. But if he's not carried it out and he didn't do the action, then Allah will still give him a good, complete good deed in his book of deeds. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he narrates from Allah, says, فَإِنْ هُوَ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَ اللَّهُ لَهُ عِنْدَهُ عَشَرَ حَسَنَاتٍ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ إِلَى سَبْعِ مِئَةِ ضِعْفٍ إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرًا But when a man or a female, when somebody intends a good deed and he actually carries out that good deed, then in that situation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for him from 10 good deeds to 700 good deeds, or twice as much as that, or even more than that. Theek hai? Ila adhafin kathira, or many, many times that deed. So subhanAllah, the mercy of Allah is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then just through one good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may reward a person 10 rewards, or 700 rewards, or 1400 rewards, or if Allah wills, there is no limit to his reward. وَمَنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ And when a person intends to do a bad deed, فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا And he doesn't carry out that bad deed, then what will there be for him? Nothing. ٹھیک ہے, كتبها الله له عنده حسنة كاملة Not just nothing, if he intends a bad deed but he doesn't carry out that bad deed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for him a complete good deed. ٹھیک ہے, subhanallah. فلم يعملها كتبها الله له عنده حسنة كاملة فإن هو هم بها فعملها However, if he makes the intention of the bad deed and he actually carries out the bad deed, كَتَبَهَ اللَّهُ لَهُ سَيِّئَةَ وَاحِدَةً Then Allah writes for him only one bad deed. Only one bad deed. ٹھیک ہے؟ So from this, try and think to yourself that how much mercy Allah has put in this world for us, that there is so much good for us to grab here for the hereafter. ٹھیک ہے؟ Make an intention of a good deed, and you are rewarded for it, even before you've carried it out. You are guaranteed that reward, because these are the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Allah. And also it is in Bukhari Sharif, which is very authentic. So you know its authenticity. And if you carry it out, then there is no limit to the reward of Allah. He may reward you as much as He wishes. But what you do know is the minimum is 10 rewards. At least you will be rewarded 10 times that act. And then it could go up to over thousands and maybe millions. And then if you intend to do a bad deed and you don't do it, then Allah still rewards you a good deed for it. Theek hai? And then if you commit the bad deed, then Allah will only write one bad deed in your Naam-e-Amal. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do, carry out good deeds and make intentions to do good deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to stay away from bad deeds. And just before we finish, I'll just mention this one last hadith, which is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَتَى فِرَاشَهُ وَهُوَ يَنْوِي أَنْ يَقُومَ فَيُصَلِّيَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَغَلَبَتْهُ عَيْنُهُ حَتَّى يُصْبِحَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مَا نَوَى وَكَانَ نَوْمُهُ صَدَقَةً عَلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. He who comes to his bedside and he intends that he will stand and he will perform salah in the night. So he comes to his bed and he lies down and he thinks, okay, I will wake up in a little while and I will stand and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then I will pray my tahajjud and then pray my fajr salah, and then I may go to work after that. فَغَلَبَتْهُ عَيْنُهُ, but his eyes become heavy on him, meaning sleep overcomes him. حَتَّى يُصْلِحَ, until he wakes up in the morning. So the whole night has passed and it's now morning. كُتِبَ لَهُ مَا نَوَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for him everything that he intended to do. He will be given that reward that he made the intention for. وَكَانَ نَوْمُهُ صَدَقَةً عَلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ, and the sleep that had come over him is a sadqa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sadqa from his Lord that you need some rest. Rest and I will also give you that reward as well. In the same way as when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the month of Ramadan, if you see an old man eating by mistake, he's forgotten that he's fasting and he's eating. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him, for it is Allah who is feeding him. He is still fasting, yet he is still eating. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all that reward. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, the question is if one has a cask on his leg or foot, and the cask, is it a cask or a cast?
Cast.
Okay. And the cast must be kept dry. How does he do wuzu or ghusl? The first way to determine whether he needs that cast on his body is self-experience. He knows that if he doesn't have it on, then it will delay the cure, or it will become worse, one of the two. Or if he knows that if water flows over it, then it will delay the cure, or it will become worse. If one of them two are there, then he needs that cast to be on top. Tika? And he would do masah on that cast. Tika? He just wet hand and he just wipe over it. He doesn't have to have water flow over it. The other way is if he doesn't know with his self-experience, but a Muslim, law-abiding Muslim, Sharia-abiding Muslim, doctor, says to him that if you don't put this cast on, then the cure will be delayed. Instead of it becoming better in 2 weeks, it will take 3 weeks. Or it will become worse, then in that case, he is allowed to have that cast on. And again, he will do masah on that cast, and that would be enough for his wuzu. The question here is, even the cast must be kept dry. Even the cast must be kept dry. And if that is the situation, and again, the ways of determining that is either self-experience or a law-abiding, Sharia-abiding Muslim doctor who tells him that. Or if a doctor tells him that and he knows with certainty that yes, he is right, it makes sense, and yes, he's right. If I do make this cast moist or wet, then it will delay my cure. So in that situation, what that person will do is he'll put another cloth around the cast. He will put another cloth material around the cast, and then he will do masa on that material. And then he can take that material off. That's the way to do wuzu in such a situation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Any other questions?
What dua did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make for Syria?
at the moment, the only dua that I remember is in Bukhari Sharif, where there were people from Sham, Syria, Yemen, and Najd present, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahumma barik lana fi Shamina, Allahumma barik lana fi Yemenina." Oh Allah, give us barakah in Sham, and give us barakah in Yemen. That's the only one I remember. There are other virtues of Sham mentioned in Hadith, which I cannot remember.
So how do you reconcile between that and what is happening in Sham at the moment?
What's happening in Sham does not in any way deny the fact that the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was accepted. And barakah was, plenty of barakah has been given to Sham in the past. Even today there is still barakah in Sham. Okay? It doesn't mean all the barakah has gone. Barakah does not mean that the people always have to be in peace and there is no zulm upon the people. I don't know of the other ahadith, and maybe if we look at the other ahadith then we can understand. Okay? So maybe you'll have to ask me that again next week, so then I can have a look. I do have a book, I'm not sure who wrote that book, but it has Sheikh Jibril Fuad Haddad or somebody, I can't remember. But it mentions all the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to Syria. I shall have a look at that, inshallah. Tika? Okay.